Continuing with chapter 26 of Miklos Nisley's Auschwitz, a doctor's eyewitness account. And what a long road they had traveled in coming here, the murdered women and children of C camp. How filled with unimaginable horror, sorrow, each lap of that journey. They had been taken every day to the specially designed torture chambers, outfitted with all the latest instruments conducive to making people talk. They had been questioned until half dead with pain. They'd confessed either the hiding place of their valuables or the name of the person to whom they had confided them. Many had died from these interrogations. Those who survived had been almost relieved to find themselves being loaded into boxcars, 80 or 90 to a car, for it had meant that they were leaving the torture chambers far behind. Or so they had thought. For 4 or 5 days they had lived in these cars, watching the dead pile up around them, till at last they had reached the Jewish ramp of the Auschwitz concentration camp. We already know what happened to them here. Heartbroken at being separated from their husbands and children, frantic with fear, sent at selection time into the right-hand column. They at last reached C camp. But before entering the foul, disease-ridden barracks, they were made to submit to another humiliation, designed to divest them of any lingering vestiges of human dignity. The baths. Ungentle hands cut their hair and stripped them of their clothes. After the bath, they were given rags that no self-respecting beggar would have ever touched. In these clothes, they received their first dividend under the Third Reich. Lice. After this reception, they began their life of confinement behind the catzet barbed wire, their life of the living dead. The food they received, more like dirty dishwater than anything else, was sufficient to keep them from dying, insufficient to keep them really alive. Albumin was completely lacking in their systems, causing their legs to become as heavy as lead. The absence of fats made their bodies swell. Their menstruations ceased. As a result, they became irritable and increasingly nervous, had migraines and nosebleeds. The lack of vitamin B caused perpetual drowsiness and partial amnesia. Often they could no longer remember the names of the streets where they had once lived or their house numbers. Only their eyes were still alive. But even they no longer sparked with intelligence. These were the circumstances in which they submitted to the daily roll calls and musters, which lasted several hours. When they fainted and were rudely revived, with a bucket of cold water, their eyes invariably turned towards the clouds of smoke that covered the catzet, or towards the flames belching from the crematorium stacks. These two signs, smoke and flames, reminded them day and night that they were living at the gate to the other world. The C camp inmates had lived for 4 months in the shadow of the crematorium gate. It took 10 days for all of them to pass through it. 45,000 tormented bodies rendered up their souls there. Upon C camp, whose wire stands had enclosed as many poignant tragedies, a A dismal silence descended.